Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Owen O'Kane is a specialist psychotherapist with over 25 years experience and a best-selling author of 4 books. His 4th is called Addicted to Anxiety, How to Break the Habit. And Owen joins me on the line now. Owen, you're very welcome.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a massive success, this book.
It's been huge, yeah. I mean, it's you never know when you do a book, do you? How people are going to respond to it. But I really wanted to write a book on anxiety that was accessible and that people would get. But at the same time, you know, I didn't want to produce something that was kind of fluffy or, you know, not going to be helpful. So, absolutely delighted to see how well it's been received.
Were you nervous or hesitant about the title, about the subject matter and suggesting that people are addicted to anxiety?
Yeah, I mean, I was, if I'm being honest, but it's something I wholeheartedly believe to be true, because I think people often see anxiety as something that's happening to them, which is true to a degree. But often people play a much bigger part in their anxiety than they realise. And I think people often do get addicted to the process of anxiety. So they get addicted to the ways of thinking, how they deal with the emotions and the behaviours that they often engage with that they think help their anxiety, but end up actually making it worse longer term. So I've always been pretty confident that there is an addictive component to the process of anxiety. And I thought I wanted to write something that was useful and helpful, rather than tiptoe around and give something fluffy or give a false promise. So, you know, the book is a hopeful book and it's about moving people through, but it's also about taking responsibility for your part in your own anxiety. And I know that that's hard to hear, but as you know from previous conversations we have had, you know, my work is about empowering people, not giving them kind of fake or false information that's not going to help them move forward.
There's no judgment here in, you know, you've brought your anxiety on yourself. And that tone is, of course, throughout the book and throughout your work. And you've walked the walk, Owen. I mean, you share your own story with anxiety. So you know this from a personal as well as a professional viewpoint.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think if you're going to use these platforms and you're going to write books, and, you know, it's one thing to write as a psychotherapist, which, of course, is my core training and all the years of experience. But it's also about, as a human being, you know, I get anxiety. You know, I've been there, done that, and I understand what it feels like. And I think when you sort of have that, you know my story from previous conversations, but I grew up in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. So I was kind of primarily hardwired for threat and to be on guard. And it was only when I left actually and moved to London that I realized that my level of threat was much higher than other people that I knew. So and I know what that feels like, that sense of being on guard and being uptight and being on watch for danger. But I guess my own work on myself taught me as well is that, you know, there was no magic wand. There was no one coming to fix my anxiety. It was about how I started to relate to my anxiety differently and how I started to drop the biggest problem with anxiety is people often want the short-term solution. And it's a weird one because they don't want the discomfort of anxiety, but at the same time, they find it hard to let it go. And that's where the addictive component comes in. If you speak to anybody who's addicted to anything, they will talk about almost as love-hate, where they show up and they get involved in the addiction because they want short-term relief. But at the same time, part of them knows it isn't good for them, but they will continue going back to it over and over and over again. And I think, you know, if you think of anxiety, it comes with a big promise. It's promising safety and protection. So why would you let that go? If suddenly you think, well, if I stop being anxious, what might happen? And that's something I see in clinical practice every day. You know, what would I be without my anxiety? What if I stop worrying? Will I miss something? Will something go wrong? So I think that's a double-edged sword when you're dealing with anxiety, that it's quite tantalizing, and the kind of courage to start letting it go take some work.
Will you share a story that you do in the book that I think is quite a powerful representation of this? And it's the NHS therapy group you were holding. And tell us a little bit about Daryl in that group.
Yeah, so I mean, this group was a group that I had, this is like kind of many years ago, but it was a group I had been asked to set up, and it was for about 16 people who all had chronic type anxiety. And they'd sort of been around, you know, lots of treatments and therapy programs. And the psychiatrist I was working with at the time knew I had a real interest in anxiety and trauma. And he asked me to set up a group, you know, a group for these people. And we were about 8 weeks into the program, and I noticed that they were all starting to improve. So there was a bit of banter in the group and people were feeling lighter. And I noticed that there was just general overall improvement with most of them. So about 8 weeks in, I fed back to him. I said, God, I noticed this feels like a different group. You're much lighter. There's a lot more banter in the group. And I'm noticing a lot of breakthroughs. And the moment I fed back that things were going well, they just went deadly quiet. So, of course, as a therapist, you pick up on the silence in the room. And I said, God, that's went down like a lead balloon. I wonder what's happening. And this one guy, Daryl, speaks up, and he had been a previous drug addict. And he then joked and he said, bloody hell, I thought giving up the drugs was hard. This is much harder. And everyone in the group laughed. So it was just kind of, there was this immediate camaraderie with his, you know, his recognition that he was very, very hooked on his anxiety. So the moment I started to explore with him, and I said, well, what happens when I suggest that you're doing better? And immediately they then started to describe that worried them. Because what would happen without the anxiety? It was such a big part of their life. It was so familiar to them. What did it look like beyond anxiety? And I remember him then making the joke about addiction and thinking, bloody hell, I'm hooked. I thought giving up the drugs was hard. I remember in my head thinking at that time, there is an addictive component to this, and everybody in this group recognizes that because they're all laughing at this joke and they're all identifying with it. But interestingly, I also knew what he was saying. It's really, really hard to let go of, and it's hard to stop the patterns that go with anxiety. So that's where the title was born many, many years ago. So I sort of knew when I did a book on anxiety that I would keep that in mind. And of course, when the title landed, I kind of thought, no, I've got to go with this because I believe this is true.
And you really do break into how somebody can break this habit. And you break the book into three sections: the root of the problem, breaking the habit, and then reclaiming your life. And within that, you do suggest that people begin to see anxiety as a visitor, not necessarily who they are.
Yeah, and a welcome visitor as well. I mean, I think that is one of the, this is kind of one of the biggest things with this book, really. And not everyone will agree with me in this, but I do believe, like, with 100% confidence, that if you treat your anxiety as an enemy, then that's exactly how it will feel. And I guess most people you meet who are anxious, when they talk about their anxiety, I've never met anyone in my career who's come in and spoken positively about their anxiety. They will always come in and they will talk about it as a very dark, oppressive force in their life, where actually when you step back and think about it, your anxious self, which I refer to a lot in the book, rather than just think of it like a mechanical process, we're not treating the kidney or a lung here. We're treating the part of self, a scared part of self, that will make itself known in thoughts, emotions, behaviours. So when you're getting to know that part of self, why would you push it down or try to get rid of it? Because it's a helpful part of self. Anxiety is a really useful mechanism. Without it, we wouldn't stay safe. You know, there are moments when anxiety is really, really important, but the anxious self often works way harder than it needs to. And if we've come from backgrounds, and it could be our families or cultures or trauma, or like backgrounds like mine, so there was a lot of kind of violence and the troubles and stuff. If you're primarily hardwired to be a warrior, then your anxious self will be on high alert a lot of the time. And if you put energy into getting rid of it or pushing it away or not feeling it, then what you do is you abandon that part of self. So for me, it's always about, now you don't see your anxiety as a bad thing or an enemy. You see it as a helpful ally that moves in. So your job is to get to know it better and build a new relationship with it. Because I guess I think you could teach people hundreds of techniques, and they may be useful to a degree, but if they still believe that their anxiety is a bad part of them or an enemy of sorts, then the techniques are not really going to have full benefit. So for me, whether it's in clinical practice or whether it's writing books, the first port of call is start building a new relationship with your anxiety. Stop seeing it as this terrible, awful, bad thing. And for me, I mean, that's revolutionary for most people when they begin to reshape and rethink their anxiety and get to know it and get less overwhelmed or less intimidated by it. I feel most people are almost halfway there when they start changing the relationship. Then I get more specific about then, okay, how do you work on it individually then?
You also suggest that people are careful about where they get their advice from. I think it's great that we talk about anxiety more, but it's all across social media. And you do say something that kind of hit home with me. Just because somebody has been through anxiety and come out the other side doesn't necessarily make them an expert. And I think it's important. It's great to share information, but be careful what you're taking on.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, it would be a bit like I'm not a cardiologist, you know, so if I had a heart problem and I started going out there as the expert on heart problems, it would be dangerous information because it's just coming from my own experience. Now, don't get me wrong, I think it's a time and a place. I think there's something really positive about people sharing their struggles and what's helped and what's moved them forward, because that's opening, you know, that's opening the conversation, and I think that's a good thing. But where I think it's problematic is when people then start getting in and proclaiming expert advice in subject areas where they're not trained. I think that for me just becomes a bit more worrying. Let me give you an example. I was at a gym that I used to go to, and there was one of the guys there was a personal trainer, brilliant guy, really helpful, you know, well-meaning. But he had a real interest in mental health. And one day I noticed he had put a post up in the gym giving 5 tips for managing anxiety. And every tip he had given was clinically, would go against the clinical advice on how to treat anxiety. So what he was doing was he was feeding into a lot of short-term safety behaviors around anxiety, but he gave nothing that actually clinically was evidence to help anxiety. So what he was doing in some ways, he was colluding with the short-term, you know, how to get rid of anxiety quickly, and he was sharing it as good or as he thought it helpful advice. But actually, when you look at it, you think, God, this goes against all of the clinical evidence that's going to help someone. So it's a good example of where people mean well, and they will give stuff that might short term feel good, but actually longer term, what you're doing is you're actually feeding the patterns of anxiety. So I think we do need to just be really careful about that.
And that leads me quite interestingly into my next question, and it was about this book being a journey for the reader to go on rather than a book for you to read. And I think that can happen sometimes with any personal development books, that we can read them and think, wow, that's great. And then we just put it on the shelf and we don't actually think of it again. So there is going to have to be some deep explorative work within this, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. It's not just that. I mean, and this was really important for me. I wasn't just going to write, you know, cure your anxiety in a day, or, and we see these books out there, you know, where they do give these promises that you're over it, because, you know, that there is no, you're never going to get rid of anxiety. There is no stopping anxiety, and there shouldn't be, because it's a natural mechanism that we all have. So this is about learning to live with anxiety and realizing that there's work to be done, that there is no finite point of like absolute recovery. There will always be moments when somebody gets triggered, or, you know, as we both know, life delivers stuff all the time. You know, there might be something going on at home, there might be struggles with the kids, there might be a bereavement, that, you know, there might be financial difficulties. We're up against managing difficulties all the time. So the book is really about a roadmap for, okay, this is often about navigating not only changes in the external world, but knowing that our internal landscape can change. Sometimes unexpectedly, we get a day when we think, God, I'm anxious today and I don't know why, or stuff has moved in. So I guess really the interesting feedback from the book early on has been people have said, oh, I've had somebody message me today, funny enough, saying, I've read it twice and I'm going to put this in the bedside table because I know this is something I'm going to pick up again and again. And then interestingly, somebody else yesterday messaged me, said, I read one of the chapters and it made me feel a bit more anxious because I was frightened of going towards my anxious self. So, and I said, I don't think that's a bad thing, because, you know, your avoidance of your anxiety or your fear of going towards it, you know, that gives you really important information. So it's kind of a, you know, gently encouraging people. You know, you don't need to, I'm not forcing anyone to do anything that they're not comfortable with. But I think if going towards your anxiety makes you nervous, then that gives you a huge piece of information about the relationship you have with it.
You also spoke about something I hadn't really heard before, and I think it counts in a lot of personal development journeys or lifestyle changes, that honeymoon period when you do the work, when you make the changes, and all of a sudden you're like, brilliant, I'm fixed, and you kind of relax. And I'd never heard it discussed before.
It happens, that you see it all the time as a therapist, you know, that point when people are really starting to make breakthroughs and, you know, get back on form and they're feeling good again. And that for me is always a red flag, because that's when people are most likely to drop out or not continue doing the work, because they think, oh, I'm good now, I'm fixed. Whereas for me, if I'm working with people therapeutically or whether I'm writing books, it's like you've got to consolidate the work. And it's not just about, okay, I'm feeling better now, so I'll just drop it all and I'll just go back to normal. Because the reality is, you know, if you are prone to anxiety, or you are prone to worry more, well then the likelihood is there will be another episode. And that doesn't mean that it's wrong or bad, but I kind of think this book is about a way of life, really. And kind of keeping up with the daily stuff that helps and keeping an eye out. So you become almost like your own monitor, where you sort of, you're aware of how you're feeling on a particular day and what adjustments or tweaks that you might need to make. So I guess it's on that theme of ownership and responsibility. It's about being aware that there will be a setback. There will be difficult moments. So it's not about, okay, I've read the book, job done, I can forget about it. It's about actually, you know, this is work in progress. And this is about, you know, it's like good therapy in itself, isn't it? You know, good therapy is a change in lots of things in your life. It's not just about a conversation or a nice chat. It's a complete overhaul of your life. So I guess that means the book is encouraging not only keeping an eye on yourself, but sticking with the things that are helpful and actually realizing that this is always going to be work in progress. And the more you can commit to the work and just kind of carve out that time as a priority, then the healthier you're going to feel longer term.
Well, as challenging and hard as that work can be at times, the book is a very easy read. It gives practical advice and is ultimately very, very hopeful. It is called Addicted to Anxiety: How to Break the Habit. I don't want to say goodbye to you now, Owen, because I did read in the book you don't really like goodbyes.
I don't like goodbyes at all, actually. Goodbye until next time, we'll say.
Well, you also have two very heavyweight reviews on the front. Lewis Capaldi, a huge help for me. And Davina McCall says something that I really, really agree with. Her quote is, "A force for good. You truly are. Keep doing what you're doing, Owen O'Kane. It's always a pleasure
Thanks
to have
so much,
you on."
Claire. Thanks a million for having me.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.